you join me in prayer? We've heard your word, Lord. We know that you will speak through it and speak to our hearts and make a difference, your wondrous difference. Use me in Jesus' name. A sick man was talking to his doctor. He had gotten the notice that he didn't have long. And finally, he turned to the doctor and he said, "I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side." And very quietly, the doctor said, "I don't know." The man said, "You don't know? You're Christian man. Are you sure you don't know what's on the other side?" The doctor said, "No. But he went to a door that was near his, next to his office. And when he got to the door, all of a sudden he heard scratching sounds on the door. And he could hear a little bit of sounds of a dog barking. And the doctor opened the door, and the dog leaped into the room and upon the doctor. The doctor said, "I've never let him in this room before." He didn't know what was in the room. He only knew who was in the room. His master was in the room, and he wanted to be with him. At the core of our faith, it's not so much knowing where we're going or the details, but to whom we are going. And it's our Lord Jesus and the people that have loved him and he has loved them and the possibility of reunion. There's so much we don't know that we can be tempted to focus on insignificant details. I read of a pastor Larry Petten, his son was dying, and they prayed for months for a miracle, and he knew the time was drawing nigh, and the son knew it, because people have a sense of that. And finally, his little boy went to this pastor, Larry, and said, "Dad, what does it feel like to die?" Father bowed his head for a minute and prayed for courage. I've been there when you talk to people about such things. The responsibility is immense, and if it was your own son, even more so. And he said, "It's something like this. Some night, you'll be watching TV or doing something with me, and you'll fall asleep on the couch. And when you fall asleep, I would go down and I'd pick you up without waking you. And I'd place you in your own bed and tuck you in. And in the morning, you would just know that you were home in the place where you belong." Now, the steps before going to sleep vary, but I have served with so many people who died. I've been by the bedside of many people who have died. And while at times there is fear, it is almost most common that those who really had a faith, they would sense the presence of God in the room or of a loved one. I've heard them call out to that loved one. And the blessings that it meant was great. They were not alone. God had put them where so that they knew that he would receive them. As we talk about this, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, I'll come back and I'll show you where it is. And he did. And it made a wondrous difference. And they said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And he said, I am the way. And that passage sticks strong. I just want to look at one more aspect of that. The disciples had the chance to see the living Christ and to see how loving he was and how powerful he was and how he received people with such grace. And then he was gone. But before he went, he told them that he would come and show them the way. And that makes all the difference in the world. But I had a story that I heard about 40 years ago, and most of you probably have even heard it. But it illustrates something, so I want to repeat it. There was this kid, a scrawny little kid. He played football. He wasn't very good. And so he just gave his all. And his mother had died earlier, so it was just him and his dad. And every day, his son would practice hard at football. And every game, his father was there watching the kid on the bench. Most of the time. And as he did this, or he was there to show his son that he was there, eventually the son got some playing time, not a star by any means. And then he walked on later to a college, and he wasn't very good. And initially his father would show up at the games, and it was tough times. And he didn't play. And then eventually his father wasn't at the games, and the coach worried what was wrong. And one day a telegraph came, and the coach saw that the young man was upset. And the coach said, well, what's wrong? And he said, my father died. And the coach said, well, take off from practice, take the whole week off, and don't worry about it, and you don't even have to show up in the game for the game. Didn't play anyhow. So he showed up at the game, and it was a big game, and things weren't going so well. And for the first time, the kid said to the coach, let me play. Please. And the coach wanted to win so bad. Initially, he said no. And it's really hard when someone says, please, you know. And he said, just this one time, coach. And the coach did. And he had the game of a lifetime. In fact, he intercepted the pass and ran it for a touchdown, which brought victory to the team, and they carried him off on his shoulders. And the coach said, wow, what happened to you? And he said, well, you know, my dad came to all of those games. But my dad was blind. He could never see me. And This was the first game that he did. My dad was watching. In heaven, it'll be a lot like that. There'll be things that we will see and notice that we didn't notice before. There'll be blessings that'll be unlike anything we've ever thought about. I read an illustration from a novel. It's on the Battle of Britain. And there's this pilot, and he is a really hard fellow. And he's, in the novel, he's like an ace. And he has such a hard edge that he's just a wonderful killing machine. And so he can hold that edge. He pushes everyone away from him, his fellow pilots and crews. He was an ace pilot. His wife, even, and his folks, because he didn't want to lose that edge in the midst of it all. And then he was about to go on this mission where they really didn't expect hardly anyone to come back. And in the midst of this, he begins to look at himself and his relationship, and he would always make fun of God and all sorts of stuff. But in the novel, he said something that really was so insightful to me. He said, "As I lay here, my head is filled with growing accusation of my past. War is a hard thing. If you do it, you do it, but it's never easy. You just see so much." So he has accusations of his past. And he says, as I come to this moment, it's as if I am shedding my own body crumbling, diseased portions. He feels like he's letting go of all this stuff that had grabbed him. I don't know what shall be left. I never expected joy in the rending. Maybe this is all a final dream. If it is, then it is more beautiful than the real. Dream is more beautiful than the real. I surrender what is left of me to it. If there is a God after all, let him take my unbelief and make faith of it. Let him take my unbelief and make faith of it. If I die, at least now I live. At last I am free of my past, my hatred, perhaps the blood on my hands. Then he had a final thought. His wife, who had faith, "Maybe your Christ will make me another Lazarus." As I thought about that, I thought about the passages in Scripture that says, "You will be changed." And I thought, I will not only be reunited with those that I loved, but all the stuff that I did that got in the way of my loving them would be gone. Their stuff and my stuff. And I could love them as God intended. And I could be loved by God as God intended. Sometimes we have difficult relations with those that we love. And there is the possibility, as we give it to God and as we come to God, He changes it and creates a beautiful dream greater than reality itself. In the scripture, in the Revelations, it says, "For the feast of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come." And now, I invite you to the table, which is a foretaste, a preview of the love of God that makes the forever and divine difference. If you're not a member here or whatever, that doesn't matter. It only matters that you seek to receive the love of God. Come.